Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hi, you guys, and welcome to another week's episode of Why Am I Sad? I'm Zoe B.
I'm Cass.
I'm George.
And I'm Tom.
And we're fine.
Hello, sunshine. Hello, blue skies. Hello, lovely day.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-da-da. So fine that we decided we're going to answer some of your questions. Ooh. And I've picked a doozy.
Oh. You love picking doozies.
I love picking a doozy. So it's a long one.
Picking a doozy sounds like you're literally pulling a shit out of your butthole.
All right. That's not what that phrase means at all. But
it's what it sounds like. Tom's right.
Thank you.
Picking
Cass.
A doozy. I mean,
I thought of boogers before I thought of bum.
Yeah, I thought boogers first. Well, that's then, you don't pick your bum. You pick your boogers.
I mean, okay.
Okay. All right, Tom, that silence is deafening.
I'm gonna just start reading. It's a weird way to start. It's quite an intense question, I feel like, if it's long. If it's a doozy.
It's a doozy. So bear with me because it is long. So, like, take it in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So I'm working through a lot at the moment. My friends and family don't seem to quite understand. So I thought, hey, why not message 4 people in Australia and see if they do? Mm-hmm. Some background, I've suffered from chronic depression for so long that I actually don't ever remember being happy. I grew up with a narcissist/depressive mother and emotionally distant father, and I'm the eldest daughter to an immigrant family. In November 2018, despite my years of keeping my shit together, I finally exploded and had a horrific mental breakdown. My family did not get it. I was ostracized for it and had a huge falling out with my sister, who I'd previously been very close to, because she couldn't understand my depression. Our relationship is still super fragile to this day. Anyway, cut to 2021. After years of therapy and medication, I'm still in a bad place. It's so frustrating to have learned so much in therapy about the causes of my depression, about the impact of my mum's narcissism and what it had on me, the generational trauma that comes with being from an immigrant family. And it feels so frustrating to be in my 30s now and still dealing with this shit. In more fun news, I was also diagnosed with endometriosis. I've had PCOS since I was 16, nice. But this additional diagnosis really rocked me. I realized I couldn't have children without a lot of medical assistance, and even then it wouldn't be likely. So I've decided I'd rather not put myself through all the emotional, physical, and mental pain of trying to conceive when I can accept my lot in life as hard as it is and be child-free. This decision has also led me to breaking up with my boyfriend. Before breaking up with him, I'd asked him to reflect and decide whether or not he did want kids. For me, I'd always been raised with the idea of being a mother. For him, it was still something for the future.
Classic dude.
Mm. He decided he did want to be a father and wasn't open to adoption. He said he would be happy to be child-free as long as we did everything we could try and that, quote, it would be different if I was completely infertile, end quote. I gave him
She was. Hate that.
I gave him a choice. Do you want to be with me or do you want children? Because for me, I don't want to go through that. I'd rather protect myself from the pain. And of course, he wanted both. We consistently had this discussion he eventually became more withdrawn from himself, and I don't blame him for having his own mental health issues. For our own mental health, I said we needed to break up. It's been 6 months and I thought I was fine because our relationship fizzled out when we were together. But when I saw him again at a mutual friend's event, I realized I still loved him. I recognized that our relationship had become super toxic, and logically I know we don't belong together because of the kids issue, but I can't help how I feel. I've recently qualified as a lawyer, something that has taken 6 years to do. I've started a new job, but I don't like it.
How are you doing that much in your life?
There was this huge anticlimax to qualifying, having worked so hard to become a lawyer and then reaching my goal and nothing changed. I tried to celebrate it. I took my family out to expensive dinners to thank them for all their support during the process, all of which they weren't grateful for. I'm throwing a party in a few weeks to celebrate qualifying too, but it's still so empty. I have to fight the urge to cancel the party. I feel really lonely. All my close friends have just gotten married, so they're in this happy little bubble. And although I've reached out to a few, it's hard for them to relate. It's hard breaking up in lockdown because you can't have the same closure. Like, you're just trapped in your house, overthinking everything and overeating. I've tried going on the apps and have had mostly shitty dates. The dates have been fine, but I just don't have the energy to open up to people again. I'm starting to worry it's me. Am I too crazy for love, or do I just bring everyone down? I don't know how to ask for help because throughout my life I wasn't given help. I had to figure out how to take care of myself and my family. People always say, let me know if I can do anything, but what does that mean? What do I need you to do? Even my therapist was shocked when I told her I don't know how to ask for help. The whole notion is so foreign to me. I'm trying to get my shit sorted. I've booked boxing classes. I've booked in sessions with a PT to get back into shape to have something to do. I'm in contact with my GP, trying to get it back on medication and to get therapy in the UK, but it's a long slog. My GP appointment is 2 weeks away and the waitlist for therapy is 6 to 12 months long. I think I have ADHD, but again, stuck in the cycle of waiting for a diagnosis, the waitlist, etc., etc. I'm also living with my family at the moment and I'm trying to find a place to rent or buy, but since everyone's coming back to London, the prices have exploded. Plus, whenever a viewing comes around, it seems so overwhelming, so I just cancel them. I need to buy a car. I need to get a haircut. I need to start buying clothes that fit me because my current clothes don't fit anymore due to the overeating. At least I got my nails done, and that's one thing off my list. I need to re-crate train my dog. I need to lose 10 kilos. I need to call up the hospital and book in an endo appointment. I need to go food shopping. I need to order my friend's wedding present, even though her wedding was months ago. I don't know, guys. Everything just seems so overwhelming and frustrating to deal with. So what do I do?
That is so much.
So much.
I think putting that all together, no wonder you feel very overwhelmed. That is so much for anyone to be dealing with.
That's just a lot for like...
anyone.
Like, individually, all of those is a lot.
Yeah, one thing of that would be heaps. You mentioned you have lists and you're not sure where to ask for help. Look, as a starting point, I would suggest giving yourself a starting point. So if you can write, even if it takes you like a week to just get everything down on paper or whatever, I'd get a big bit of paper and put it into categories of like things you can get done like within an afternoon to like goals that are going to take years to achieve or like months to achieve, and like, or put them in some sort of time whack or something. So that if you end up having a list and you've got things like, you know, get your nails done, get a haircut, you know, you've got small things there, and then you've got medium-sized things of like, you know, I think you said you've got
doctor's appointments.
Doctor's appointments, like finding like some things are going to take a bit more research or going to take a number of phone calls to follow up on, things like that. And then eventually too, like if you're looking to lose weight or train your dog, things are going to take consistent things over time. If you've got them all written down, if you've got friends around you who say, how can I help? They can help you by figuring out how to help you. Like, that still counts as help. If you don't know how to ask for help, you can bring them over and be like, I don't know how you can help me. Can your help be figuring out how to help?
Yeah.
And you can show them your big lists and be like, these are all of the things I need to do. And when I look at these all at once, it is overwhelming. Can you help me sort of break it down. Because you might have a friend who will come over, like, and I feel like everyone does have their little skills. Like, you know, you might have a friend who comes over and it's like, oh my God, I can make phone calls for you. I'll book all these appointments.
Yeah.
Done. I'll do these. And yeah, that's done. Or you might have someone who's like, oh, you know, my aunt trains dogs. I can get some tips on how to train dogs, so then that little bit of mental labor you don't have to do anymore.
Mm. Even just having them tag along to like the boring stuff as well.
Yeah,
you know, because we've
helpful.
Maybe she's got we've a list spoken. A list,
yeah,
just an admin someone who's like, fuck yeah, yes, a list.
Oh, let's make a list.
Yes, yeah. I will make.
Everyone
this list
has here a friend who is secretly horny for admin.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh my God.
At least the yeah list part. The list part is satisfying.
My like, favorite how long thing will this is take? Riding 2 minutes? Up a budget. Oh.
Yeah. I think that's, there's yeah something to be said about having a friend also, yeah, come along with you for the boring, well, not the boring things, but the like smaller things. Because I think we've spoken about it in an episode before, Cass, where we were saying that having a friend tag along while you do errands is a very Australian thing, that it's not a very worldly thing where like Cass and I will have the dynamic where I can be like, I have to go do this. Do you just want to be there?
Oh, and it helps. So
and it helps
much
because then you're like, well, I've invited them to go get a haircut. Like,
yeah.
So they, I'm now responsible not only for my own haircut, but also if I bail, then are they going to get their haircut? It's a whole thing.
I'll tell you
invite
what.
Invite other people along for the house inspections too.
Oh my God, so helpful because then you can have someone to bounce ideas off of. This, I actually did this last week and I didn't initiate it. My brother saw the state of my car, Hayden, and he was like, hey, why haven't you fixed this? And I was like, I haven't had time. And he's like, what are you doing Tuesday? And I'm like, nothing. He's like, I'm coming with you and we're sorting your car out. And then so for the whole day, I picked him up and then he's like, okay, item number one, what are we? He looked at everything and because it's not his overwhelming mess that has plagued him for half a year, he was able to look at everything and be like, where does that need to go? I'm like, I have to, that's e-waste, I need to take it to Office Works. And so we went into the Office Works and then the bins weren't right. So then we got to the counter. And he was like, oh, hey, what other kinds of e-waste do you take? And she was like, oh, what do you have? And we just dropped everything off. She's like, yeah, we can take all of this. And I had like a discarded blender. And I never would have, like that task had been festering and some batteries were like literally corroding. It was like getting gross. But because it was like a big task, my brain had been like big, hard. And yeah, Hayden literally was like, oh, hey, where does this need to go? And then ask the question. It took no mental energy for him because it hadn't been snowballing for the better part of a year. That's been in my car since I moved house. So it hadn't been snowballing for over a year. So,
no.
But that's the thing. Like, other people are not going to have the same, like, labor things for their tasks. Everyone has their own different skills. And we went to a thing. He was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, we should eat lunch. He's like, okay, well, let's go to Officeworks first. Let's drop this off at the op shop. Let's do this. And he all of a sudden was doing things that were of no effort to him because he just looked at them and was like, oh, do this.
Yeah. I think it's like
my car's clean now. It's not been that way for a year.
I think it's one of those weird things about like how much life is admin and like how much of your life falling apart is literally just a good list. That knocking down a good list away from being like much more in order because you just get so overwhelmed and it's like
But if you're not in that mental state to be able to even like comprehend making a list, then having someone else there that you can bounce off, like, you know, my best friend is a list person. And I know when I was going through my depression, it was like, let's make a list. And I was like, I don't want to see everything that I'm sad about written down in front of me. So instead of like making a list, we started even smaller than that, where it was like, what's something you need to do today? Like, what's one small thing that you can do? And so for me, because I was so far gone, I was like, I got a shower. And it was like, okay, that's one task. That's one thing that we're going to add onto the list, because that was something I really struggled with when I was in the middle of all of it. She would sit there. It was like, I cannot express to you the amount of times that she's sat there like on a closed toilet seat while she's like, go grab a shower. And I'm like, I don't want to. And she's like, well, we're both in the bathroom now. What do you think's going to happen?
She sounds great.
It's like, oh.
And that's good. And that's what you need people to help you with.
Yeah.
I think it is mind-blowing when you're so stuck in it, how not overwhelming your tasks are to someone else because of all of the attachments we have in our own brain for them. And that's not any failing of you. Every single person has that. Like, everyone would have had this thing where someone, you hear someone talk about. And I was like, oh, I had to do this today. And you just have that moment of like, that's not hard.
Mm.
And for you, it absolutely wouldn't be. And if you had to do that task for that person, it just wouldn't even be hard. And how cool of that? How cool is it that you can give that gift to someone else, to sit down with someone and have none of the mental burden and just help to like organize and detangle a bunch of stuff. And then they're just left with threads and you're like, oh, I can help you with this.
Mm.
Yeah, sure. I get your friends to help you help them. Get your friends to help them to help you.
Yes. Mm. And even if you're struggling to reach out to them and maybe they're busy and doing stuff, you can still find like the little things. Like you can still do the haircut. Big coming from me, lecturing someone and going to get a haircut. But as Zoe said, even if you're not making a list of like, you know, what's something that you could do today, and it can be as simple as I'm going to make a sandwich and I'm going to put some salad in the sandwich so that I'm eating healthy already. Like just there you go. Mm. Done. I'm now eating healthier. That's one thing done. Awesome.
Yeah.
And just even if it's as simple as, all right, I've got to get a haircut. Okay. I will just today, I'm not going to book a hair appointment. I'm going to look up what kind of haircut I would like. I'm just going to Google some cool haircuts, or I'm going to, again, so hypocritical of me to do this, but, or I'm going to just Google hairdressers near me. Like find, just do a bit of research. Research is a task.
Yeah.
And then you can take a break from the research and stare into the sky. Like you can have little.
Yeah. You just have to, you could even just book the appointment if you're feeling brave.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, don't have to book it for that day. You can say like in 2 weeks from now, I'm going to go get a haircut. And that's something that you then get to look forward to. Because I think the hardest part about getting out of depression is having something to look at in the future and be like, that's a good thing that is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it's about finding those smaller things, because I think we're all looking at, you know, we all talk about the future. We talk about the future as it being really big. But when you're going through depression, sometimes it's about those small things. And I know I have definitely mentioned on the podcast that for me, like one of the things that stopped me, from self-harming and from further destruction was like looking forward to a movie that was coming out. And I was like, well, I can't kill myself 'cause I got to watch that movie. You know, which
Idris needs me in the cinema.
He needs me to support him. You know, it's certain things like that where you're like, it doesn't have to make sense to anyone else, but as long as it makes sense in your brain to be like, well, this is a thing I am looking forward to. It might not be the world's biggest goal that I am kicking, but I'm still kicking a goal.
Yeah.
And again, if that seems too overwhelming, you can ask your friends for help with that.
Mm.
If you're, you can be like, hey, can you plan something for us to do? In a week, that would be the biggest help for me. And you can say that. You can be like, I need something to look forward to. Can you plan something even if
maybe
it's
small?
Maybe
don't mention that your life's depending on it. That might be a bit of pressure for them. But just be like, it would be very helpful to me.
Yeah, it would be very helpful to me if I had a weekly thing, if I knew that we were going to catch up, if I knew that, like, whatever it may be, having something to look forward to in the future that isn't anxiety-inducing, because that's where you've got to, like, draw this line.
Yeah.
Of like, it can't be so big that it starts causing anxiety. Because I know, like, for me, like, my big thing is crowds. So, like, when people would, like, my friends would be like, let's go to the bar and let's, like, have a big night. Like, for me, that was too much. But they were like, do you want to come over for pizza? That was, like, the fucking sweet zone for me where I was like, I get to see my friends and be social and feel loved. But at the same time, I'm not overwhelmed.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so there, I think for the little things, they're all just... They're all achievable goals that you just need to figure out how your brain comprehends doing them. You know, I think in this message there are some really big things that I think each of us here in this pod can touch on certain elements of it. You know, reading this, the reason that I picked this is because as I was reading it, I was like, oh, George, oh, Cass, oh, Zoe. Like I was reading it knowing little parts that we could help with. As Cass says, like all your friends have like a little one thing that they're good at.
Mm.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
For me, reading this, I understand your feelings towards infertility. I absolutely understand that. That is probably the hardest thing that I've gone through in my life. Finding out that it's not, as your partner said, like a completely infertile, like finding out that you've got like a 1% success rate for me was way harder than finding out that it was completely zero off the table. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
That tiny
sliver. It's
the hope that kills you. But at the same time, I made the exact same decision you did. I did not want to go through any medical intervention because I did not think it was going to be the correct choice for me. And I still stand by that 10 years later, that the idea of, for me, going through IVF, going through hormone treatments would be very detrimental to my mental health, which is a fragile, fragile thing. So for me, medical intervention was an option, like, but it wasn't an option I wanted to take. And I made that decision really, really young. And I think a lot of people were really concerned that I would change my mind about it as I got older. And a lot of people were like, well, why don't you just freeze eggs? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that in case you change your mind later? I can tell you that it has been 10 years since my diagnosis. I have never once changed my mind.
Yeah.
I am so happy with the choice that I made because I've been able to make my peace with it because time has passed. The one thing I got told while going through all of this, and I don't know if I want kids. I think that's like, I'm still so unsure if I want kids, if it's something that I want to do in the future or not. But the one thing I got told that really helped everything was that however I come about doing that, I'm going to love my kids wholeheartedly. And for me, that was it. That was the answer. Was like, for me, I didn't want to go through IVF. I knew I didn't want to go through IVF. Adoption and fostering had felt so alien until someone said, you'll be fine doing it.
Yeah. Doesn't matter how you get them, you'll have them and they're yours and you'll love them.
Exactly. So for me, that every decision I had made up until that point, I was like, I'm good. So it's hard. And I went through the same thing because I was dating this guy and he just could not comprehend the concept of not having biological kids. And we broke up.
And now you're with a man who understands you. And gives you support.
And now I'm with, as he's just there backing me up, being like, yes, Zoe,
that's
yes.
Right, Zoe. You don't need.
Yes, you don't need no man, you don't need any other babies kid. But me. He is, he's my son, he's my yeah. child. But no, I did. I was dating a guy, he couldn't comprehend it. And we were really young, like we were like, you know, 19 years old, 18, 19 years old going through this. And that's not really what you're thinking about at 18 and 19.
No.
But he just couldn't comprehend it and knew that he really wanted to have biological kids. He knew he really wanted to be a dad. And he knew that he wanted to go through the whole process of pregnancy and everything like that. And that was it, because that was like a fundamental thing we couldn't change about one another. And that's okay. It's not what I needed in that moment. I needed my partner to be supportive.
Yep.
And not think about him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
but
see, this, it's funny, but you're doing the opposite what it sounds like happened in that question that she asked, because it sounds like she was overly concerned about the partner looking after themselves and being like, oh, I'll just break up with you because we can't figure this out. There's got to be a middle ground between these two dudes, basically.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure I just haven't like interacted with them.
Well, I think though, at the end of the day, is
as
that,
well, and you would have wanted him to lie.
I did, and I didn't want him to lie. And I guess, you know, in that moment, and it always comes down to the same thing: is that bad people aren't inherently doing bad things to hurt you. Just most of the time, they're just doing the selfish thing. They're doing what's right for them. And in that moment, him expressing those feelings, like I just found out, like it was the conversation where I was like, I just found out I can't have kids, and he was like, that's okay. Crazy. I don't.
Yeah, timing not, no okay, great. Yeah.
The timing wasn't great.
This isn't over. Yeah.
Same convo.
This isn't a consistent conversation ongoing for a number of years, like what it sounds like.
No, it was literally like.
What else?
Yeah, it was really a like 3-hour kind of window for this little angel. Yeah. Which also terrible.
He's 19, I guess. Time's different for those guys.
Yeah, there's shit's like different, years. You know. No, we were.
I was the dumbest man on earth at 9. Like, mm-hmm. Fuck. But if I had to live with decisions that I made when I was 18 and 19 now, like, fuck, I found, like, this is, sorry, Zoe.
Please.
I found, like, a.
We're going to talk about doozies.
No, well, I found I was recently like moved house, and I found a letter that I wrote. I don't know how old I was, but I was older than I was. It was written to me at age 19, and I can't remember when I can't remember writing it. I was probably very sad, but it was a weird letter because I know that when I was 18 and 19, I was fucking miserable and I hated everything and I dropped out of university and I lost so much weight, my pa thought I had cancer. So that was good.
Oh, my God.
So, oh, God.
He thought my mom was lying to him when she's like, no, he don't. He's like, you're lying. He looks sick. And I'm like, I'm just sad.
Which is a type of sick.
Yeah, just not what was dealt with yet.
Yeah.
correct. But no, I found this letter, and it was this thing of like, I've written a letter to my 19-year-old self, and I reckon I must have written it like older. But in it was like, hey, it's real. Where you are right now is really shit and really bad. But I'm over here and we got out. Like, we got through that. Like, you know, we got through that part. And so, like, looking back at the decisions you make at 19, they're not decisions. You're just like, you literally get spat out of high school, right? You have an ordered routine for what, 12 years? 12 years? You get spat out of high school and you just have to white knuckle it. And they're just like, so you're not, this is adulthood. We prepared you for it for the last 12 years. And you're like, no, you fucking didn't. You didn't give me fucking shit.
What are taxes?
Every time I tried to be an adult, you were like, well, hey, just grow up slowly, kiddo. And then you're out there doing all that kind of stuff. So yeah, when to have that situation unfold at that age and make those decisions, that would absolutely suck. But I guess the Zoe now writing a letter back to 19-year-old Zoe is like, hey, it sucked, but we got here and the decision we made then, absolutely the right decision.
Yeah.
And so the follow on from that is to our letter writer, write a letter to 19-year-old you, or imagine the letter that 35-year-old you is writing 30-year-old you now, or the 40-year-old you is, and is like, hey, I got to here. So whatever is going on here, we got to here. So just every time you go to get it, you know that there's a future version of you. And this is coming from someone who, I'm not great at it. I can't project myself too far into the future in my own head. Don't know why. Not going to look into it ever.
No.
but that's just, I think, something that can help address whether the decisions you're making now are going to be the right ones. Because you don't know until you make them. So just, like, lie to yourself.
Mm.
Just do and a
at
trick.
The same time, like, that decision isn't a bad decision. It's actually like a really smart decision that if you don't feel like you're, for lack of a better word, like strong enough to go through, because the process of IVF is so much. You know, it's so hard on the body. It's so hard mentally. There's so many hormonal changes. It is a really hard process to go through. And if you can look at
yourself. You've got to go all in.
Yeah. If you can't 100% commit to it, then don't do it.
Absolutely
because it's not like it's so hard. And I know, like, looking at myself, because that's, you know, that was for me. I was like, look, the little Zoe fucking answer here is that I don't regret it. I don't regret the choices I made. There are days where I'm sad about it, yes. But I do not regret the choices that I made because the choices I made were right for me then and they stayed right because they were my choice.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, you can be so overprepared for everything you do in your life. But the fact of the matter is that the life will throw you these stupid-ass fucking curveballs. And you've just got to, as Tom said, white knuckle it. And you just got to make a choice. And that choice will be right because you made it.
For what it's worth, from someone who has the sort of classic female setup, that seems like such a reasonable decision to make. Like, to not want to go through that. Like, just, I'm not as removed as not having the bits, but it still seems so reasonable. Yeah. So I just wanted to say for someone who's like not in it, it's still, like, that's still fine. Like, you're not, that's not a weird decision to make. That seems so, so reasonable. And, like, I wouldn't even say, like, not even, like, oh, you're not strong enough or something. It's like, no, that's
a really strong choice.
Insane. Yeah. Like, that's so intense.
You know, and you have the beauty of it is that, like, you made a choice and the choice was tough, but you made it. And that's fucking amazing. And not only that, like, you have the extra layer of this immigrant family, which is as a woman from, like, as a second gen person, oh, fucking hell. You know, and once again, I use woman in regards to myself with the fucking finger quotes, but, like, my family's perception of me is female, and I know that my whole life, the expectation from me was to be a mum. That's like, you know, we're WOG. That's like how we do. The women spit out babies and the men herd some goats. Like, that's what we've done for a million generations. And then we moved to this other country and shit's different. And they're not quite sure how to handle that. No immigrant family is like being like, my kids adjusted really well to being in this new country. They have these kids who are very much the product of their environment, and then they get mad at their kids for being that way. And it's like, well, you moved countries. Of course we're not like the village anymore because we've never been there.
We're not in the old country.
We're not in the old country.
The new country.
This is why you moved here. And like, for George, it might be a bit different being a guy, but my experience, they always like the goal is to get married and have kids.
Yeah, for me, it's not no, I get heaps of pressure on that, but at the same time,
yeah.
But I've got three brothers who all have kids now, so it definitely feels like less pressure in a way, even though I do get guilted constantly. But in my head, I'm like, well, you got plenty.
Yeah,
like,
you have
this. This grand is less babies. Intense. Like, if I was the only option, I would probably feel guiltier, but, like, you got plenty. I'm okay. So, like, that comes into my brain a bit. It's always like when I talk about kids as well, my perspective is I have so many nephews and nieces now that I am getting a half deal with kids anyway, so I'm not in a position to be like, I don't need kids because, like, I am getting them kind of. So, for me, it's very easy to say, kids, whatever, because, like, I'm surrounded by so many. And I don't have to deal with them the rest of the time, so it's great. Yeah. I can go home and watch a movie.
Uncle Powers are great.
Oh, so good. So, like, so I actually can't really get into this debate much because I am lucky enough to be able to experience a version of it without it. So it'll be a lot harder for someone who's never had it and maybe wants to see what that's like. And then, of course, adoption stuff is there. So
it's always really odd. Like, I was talking to my mum recently about all my relationship with the idea of parenthood. And you know, I got the added fucking level of a bunch of gender dysphoria shit as well. So, like, ugh. Like, the whole concept seems very foreign. the idea of like motherhood seems very foreign to me now in this moment. But I was talking to my mom and I was like, hey, I'm 30. The old wogs are so mad that I don't have a baby. Like, they're so mad that I haven't settled down and had a kid and I need some support interacting with them because I can't do it on my own.
Because you can't punch Nonna at
Easter. I can't punch Nonna at Easter. I can't punch Nonna at Easter.
I was going to say the big issue is actually the extended family you deal with every day, so at least they get some used to it, but the constant extended family,
yeah,
get like such a
it's
drainer.
So, like, every time I see my grandparents, it becomes like, why aren't you married? Why don't you have kids? You know, my yaya, who is probably one of the most supportive people in my life, like, my Christmas card this year said, like, I hope you find a good boyfriend and settle down. Like, you can tell that it's on their mind that I haven't procreated yet.
I think we never told them.
Oh, why not?
Fair.
Because it's none of their business.
I feel like true, but
it's,
also...
I'm absolutely not having that conversation with them. It's none of their business.
Isn't it, like, just for the sake of, like, they're actually dealing with incomplete information when they say these things, so it's actually
I could not have that conversation with them. They would not be able to comprehend it.
Mm. Yeah, they'd be, well, then why did you make that shot? Why didn't you do this instead? Why didn't you do this instead?
Why and did look, you wait so long?
I don't know.
Someone channeling grief at you, probably not good.
Like, imagine going seeing someone, you're like, oh, I can't wait for you guys to have kids, and they don't tell you that they can't, and you're like, fuck, now I'm a monster. Like, is anybody talking?
They won't think that. They have empathy. They don't.
Mm. So my belief is anytime, and I've got two things. So the first one is anytime an older generation person is like, why haven't you had kids? Why are you getting married? Why are you doing this? I think we should be able to write them a card back. Mm. That just says, hey, old fucker, why aren't you dead yet?
And nice.
I sincerely... and then
sincerely,
when they're like,
Tom.
Why would you ask that? Sincerely, Tom.
I'm basically the fact that, like, most people are not... Maybe, yes, there are rubbish people. There's so many nice people who would say the exact same thing because they're used to it.
100%.
It's normal, so, like,
100%.
I think it's a bit of, like, we can't jump on that too harshly, I think. And people mean it in the nice way where they're like, why don't you have kids because it's a nice thing.
Right. Everyone's getting that letter from me.
Have kids because I want to be mean to you.
Yeah.
But I think just connecting, wanting to have children, parenthood and grandparents and family stuff, and I think a lot of that's wrapped up in what we've been talking about and what the sort of letter said. And I do, George, you'll appreciate this. When I read a book and I find a quote from a book that I like, I save it as a note in my phone to go back to later. And there was one that I was thinking of reading this. So it's about a boy, but you could literally put in any kind of child figure. And I think so many people who have children or are parents don't understand, for me, the core principle of being, I'm never going to have kids. It's a choice that I've made. I'm cool being me and that's fine. Mm. And my brother's going to have a bunch and I like being an uncle. But I think if you're going to be a parent and if you want to have kids, before you even think about, you know, I want to, like, the idea of being obsessed with, oh, it has to be my biological children ignores the fact that that's not the point of being a parent. And so the quote is, no boy owes his parents. Parents owe their children everything always and unconditionally. And that's the way it goes. And that's it. Mm. Your kids don't owe you anything. Because you've brought them in, you've. If they are like, thank you very much, you brought me into the world, I'm not having children or getting married. And you're like, but I want grandchildren. Okay, have another kid. And then roll the dice again. Because it's chance. Your kid might turn out to be completely different to you. They might be completely something else. If the reason that you're having children is so that you can have your own legacy, that's the wrong reason to have kids. And I think... I've been in a relationship with someone whose relationship with their mother was similar to what this sounds like. Not you and your mum, Zoe.
No.
I have a great
relationship with my mum.
Your mum is lovely. But it's that thing of where I think people and grandparents, they get so caught up in their legacy and what they are owed and what is owed to them and that their children are extensions of them and their grandchildren are extensions of them. And it's like, that's not it. The way it works is that everyone in your life is a story and it changes in the telling each time someone new comes along and you don't get to dictate how that story plays out. And I think there are, there are people who just through mental health or just through their upbringing cannot view their kids as being separate from them. So when they make a choice that's different, or when they follow a path that's different, or when they do something that's different, or when they're struggling, the first instance is, oh, it makes me look bad as a parent, therefore they're bad because I can't look bad as a parent. Or all the other nonnas and nonnos are going to be like, you're shit, you've only got 18 grandchildren instead of 35. And it's, I think a lot of people lose track of that. And basically, I think the point that I am trying to make on this tangent is that fuck them. You don't owe your lineage anything. You don't owe your, like, yes, you owe them in your existence, but the minute you were born and existed, all bets are off.
Mm.
All bets are off.
Yeah. And it sounds like
I think that's easy to say, but I think it's more like you take precedence over them rather than you don't owe them anything. You do owe them heaps. And for them being, giving you a loving, supporting environment, it's 100%. Great that they're being abusive and stuff, but you're number one. So, like, I disagree in saying you don't owe them anything. It's more like you don't owe them as much as you owe yourself, is how I would put it. And if they were loving, they would you appreciate can't, that.
It's like those parents who fucking count every penny that they spent on their kid and they use that's that insanity. As... Yeah, like, that's what I think Tom's saying, is that you don't owe them anything in the same way that, like you don't owe them all the money they spent on fucking diapers when you were a baby because you didn't ask to be born and you didn't ask to fucking shit constantly.
What you owe them is to be you, and like
what you owe them is to be you.
Yeah, like to put yourself first, not them. Like that's what you owe them. So,
and it sounds like with the dynamic that this person who's written in is saying, is that their parents both individually have issues that they are choosing not to deal with, so they can't be a support network for this person.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're not in the right mindset. Like, as I said, it was, you know, their mother's a narcissist and their dad's emotionally distant. Like, if they're not in the right mindset within themselves to be able to take care of someone, how can you ask them to be your support network? How can you get a good support network from that?
Speaking of that, this is a slight tangent, but I feel just because I saw it and I kind of underlined it when you were reading there.
Yeah.
So, and look, this is interesting because I think this is a topic we might have opinions about. When she said the sentence, I took my family out to expensive dinners to thank them for their support during the process. And then in brackets, she's gone, of course, they weren't grateful for it at all. That interests me because, like, do they have to be grateful? Like, for an expensive dinner, you know? Like, so I'm when people go through shitty times, and so you would actually agree with this, I think, you can be a pretty selfish person to everyone around you in a way that is actually quite trying on the people around you. And it's a big test for them, which you can understand them maybe not hitting the right spot for a lot of the time. And so I don't know if this person is like that bad. Maybe they are horrible wall to wall, her friends and family.
I think if you don't know,
but there's a case where like you put so much on people and then they don't hit that.
Yeah. If you're going through it, and like I said, like anxiety makes you a bit of an asshole. If you're going through it, and like this person said, is that they don't know how to ask for help. So if you don't know how to express to the ones around you how they can help you, then they're not going to know. You know, I always use the example, you know, when I talk about this, is that like for me, my mum's love language is physical touch. For me, that is like my absolute like version of hell, you know, and my mum having to relearn how to express concern and love and support in a way that was not her natural instinct was the greatest show of support that I'd ever received. Because my mum could have kept giving me hugs because it made her feel better because she felt like she was helping. But instead she listened and said, like, well, my kid is expressing that they don't, like, my kid is expressing they are communicating to me, you know, which is the important thing. That's like, she couldn't read minds. Like, I had to say to her, you know, like, this isn't helping me. I actually need you to do something else. And she took that on board. And as hard as it was for her to do that, she still did it because she knew that's how I needed to be taken care of in that moment. And then I went to therapy to get better at hugging so I could then pay her back.
That's the healthiest exchange of things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And now I'm okay at hugging people.
But on that note of reciprocity, George, like the way I interpreted that is something I really like about, you know, being alive and having friends is that sometimes you just get stuck in these little loops, and maybe that's what friendship is. You just keep doing things for each other. And because there is that mutual, like, respect and appreciation, and there ends up being reciprocity. So it's like this beautiful little back and forth, this little tennis ball of love. So it'll be someone being like, oh, hey, you're having a rough day, I've brought you soup. And you're like, oh my God, thank you, you didn't have to do that. They're like, nah, it's fine. And then, like, the next week they're like, oh, hey, your car broke down, I'll drive you to the thing. You're like, oh my God, thank you. They're like, oh, it's fine. And, like, you keep going back and forth. Mm. And you wouldn't notice, you wouldn't notice that you're constantly doing things for each other unless one of you stopped. And then it would feel a bit weird. And I think that, it, like, if this person is like, oh, I, like, not consciously, no one's, like, getting into a relationship being like, hey, 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 time to finesse this for my own gain.
No, I'm that's sure me are, every time, but, always, constantly.
But yeah, if you, if,
you do the calculation,
you know,
early, the cost benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah. George, we're on the same page. Yeah.
But if your family's being supportive and you're like, oh, I want to show my gratitude. And then when you do show your gratitude and you expect them to be like, oh, thank you. And it's going to be this nice back and forth of, hey, look at all these examples of how much we care about each other. And this like constant reassurance and reciprocity of, you know, mutual respect, essentially. And then you send it out there and they just give you nothing back. And you're like, oh, okay. That kind of makes it feel a bit weird. And I think that's how I interpret it anyway, being like someone does something nice for you, so you want to say thank you, and then they do something nice for you again, you say thank you, and then it swaps back and forth. But if you did something nice for someone and then they stopped or they just never did, you would notice. Because, and I think the main thing is, really highlights, and I think it's one of those emotions that you can feel sometimes, and it's not really always easy to put a finger on why, and it's one of those things where you never fight about the thing you're fighting about, but it shows that you and the other person care about each other at different levels, and that feels awful. So you end up getting upset that someone didn't do something for you, and it's not that they didn't do something for you, because if another person didn't do that thing for you, everyone else didn't do that thing for you. You don't care. It's that you thought that you both cared about each other the same amount. And that's where things like what Zoe was talking about, like love languages and stuff, come into it, because you might not know how to interpret what they're doing, or they might not know how to interpret what you're doing, and that's why communication is really important. But doing things like that, I think that hurts the most, when you're like, oh, wow, yep. You wouldn't do that for me? Oh, God, I would do that more for you. That hurts. Yeah. That hurts me
very much. That does require communication, though. Like, is it, yeah, 100%. If you're the one being nice and then they're ungrateful, quote unquote, then it's like maybe chat to them and they'll be like, what? I mean, we drove you to this thing last week and we called you whenever you feel down and I didn't realize you felt like that. And they might be very supportive in doing all these things where you've taken that for granted, and maybe they took your thing for granted, which that's a thing that can be very common. Yeah.
Very valid. And I think communication is really important for that reason. But that is to me why that was so disappointing, to be like, hey, I recognized this. Here's my recognition of that. Nothing? Cool. Yeah. I feel very good.
Especially when it was a moment where you probably really did want to hear about their pride.
Yeah.
In you.
Yeah. Like, thanks for taking us out for dinner. It was really fancy. We're very proud of everything you've achieved.
Yeah.
I also think,
yeah, like the little victory lap.
Well, yeah, but the two key pieces of information being that mother being a narcissist, dad being emotionally unavailable, emotionally distant, is like, well, yeah, they weren't going to reciprocate. They were never going to say thanks for dinner.
Like, what dad is going to like ever do?
My
that?
Dad. My dad.
Ever been nice
my
to dad. Your entire life. You just my dad.
My dad. The car that I got serviced that I talked about the other episode is a car that my dad gave to me because my car got stolen during COVID and then we went into lockdown and he was like, you just keep that one and buy it off me later. And he bought a new car, and then when I tried to pay him for the car, he sent me the money back. So
that's beautiful. Terrence Reed, you beautiful angel.
My dad is a good, and I know that not everyone has the same relationship that I have with my dad, but I'm very lucky in that the relationship I have with my family is very open and honest. The only downside is, so I don't know if I've talked about this on this podcast before, my dad is a counselor, that is his job. So if you ever want to vent to anybody, do not vent to that
one. Yeah.
Because you'll be like, oh, I really hate this person at work. He's like, yeah, but why do you think they feel that way? And you're like, shut up, Dad, I don't want to know. Yeah.
I just want to be a bitch for a little bit.
So I think if that's hilarious. It feels like the dinner was almost like the person testing their family to be like, hey, I wonder if this is a bit like what Cass is saying. I want to test where they are. And then the answer being, oh, that fucking sucks. So I think have a dinner for your friends.
So do the party that you're planning.
Just assume stuff like that, I feel like, unless it's discussed and asked. You can't just assume, especially with a family where you've got such established dynamics. It could just be the normal thing where you don't mention that stuff at all. Oh, we know you're a hard ass. You killed all this stuff. We've never even thought about it like that or something like that. I don't know.
But do you not think like that? I think you're right. It is a toxic relationship.
If you haven't communicated it, then you can't know. And we all live in our own heads and we all sometimes can have the habit of overplaying what we do and downplaying what others do in terms of because we're not living their lives. So if you don't have that conversation or attempt to, you're not getting anywhere. Like as in it's not true. You're living in a fantasy of your own making until you've confirmed externally. You've got to talk to them. You have to talk to them. Like that's it.
Yeah, I just think George is
technically right.
I have to be technically right. Otherwise, I don't get.
I got nothing. Yeah. I cannot tell
you. I'm going to take you out for a nice dinner and you better fucking say thank you.
Yeah.
I might not. You just let me know and then I'll be like, oh, fuck yeah. No, man, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a third-born child. I assume people are going to just pay
things
for me.
That's
I don't know what's going on. So if people get upset, I'm like, man, of course, I'll give you everything. I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
I've never been grateful for anything before, ever.
Exactly. Because I just assume, like,
people have to love me.
Yeah, basically. So that's what I'm saying. It's a bit... If you haven't had that conversation, and don't get me wrong, there could be terrible people and it could go terribly. You could be unable to, there could be a million reasons why you can't. I don't have that information. But sitting here with the dynamics that I've dealt with in my life, people just don't see outside of what's going on. So like if you don't highlight this stuff, it's going to go unacknowledged and then you're going to build it up in your own head. And then you might eventually have a conversation. They'll say something and you'll be like, fuck, I was wrong this whole time. And I'm still upset because this is what I've lived with for the last 5 years. So you're going to have to give me a few days to get over this anger that was misplaced because we're all humans and emotions don't turn off as soon as you get presented with new information. But yeah, I just feel like if you don't have that conversation, especially with an immigrant family, if you don't have that conversation, it's not fair on them. It's just not.
I think for myself, learning to be more communicative with my parents especially has completely and utterly changed my dynamic with them and our relationship together. Because I think if you'd asked late teen, early 20 Zoe what their dynamic would be like, I could not comprehend my parents bending in any way. Mm. And then we started family therapy. And then now they are my favorite people in the whole wide world.
Can't believe they did therapy. That's wild.
Yeah, which I understand the luck of that. I understand like that I was very lucky to have a family that was willing to do that for me because I was really struggling. And I understand that a lot of people will not have parents that would be willing to do that. But learning to be more communicative with them absolutely changed our dynamic and changed how we view one another. And George is technically right that if you talk to them, it might not be the outcome that is good or that you want or is healthy for you in that moment, but it will be an answer.
Mm.
And then at least then if it's good, then it's good and you can work on it. If it's bad, then you can just be like wash your hands of it and be like, these are bad people and I don't have to be around them.
Mm. You can, yeah. But either way, at least you'll be dealing with the accurate representation. Like people trust their own, especially when it comes to when you're emotional, you shouldn't trust your own opinion on anything ever. Like as in you are so susceptible to getting
You write into a podcast.
That's exactly.
Yeah, and four dumb fucking idiots say that no, I'm right.
Yeah,
no, I'm right. No, I'm right.
I was just gonna say I'm totally supporting gaslighting in a way right now because I'm like, you don't trust your own opinions, all right? Just listen to someone else. You know what I'm saying? But like, you don't know what you're saying, babe. All right, but like the point is, a lot of times
that's not how it happened at all.
You need to, but you do have to step outside yourself. That doesn't mean you got to trust yourself to step outside yourself, and that's a part of what I mean. Like, as in. Be like, okay, I'm feeling this, so maybe I would be doing this, so let's have a look at the things correctly. So don't completely throw out any trust in yourself, but have a healthy openness to other opinions as well without defining everything by it. So that's what I mean. Still trust yourself and your opinion on reality.
And on that note, I think we've answered that question perfectly. With no flaws, and every word should be listened to verbatim. I'm Zoe B.
I'm Cass.
I'm George.
And I'm Tom.
And we are good at fixing lives.
I feel like I'm pro. Am I pro gaslighting? Is that what it sounds like?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay, speak to your friends. Ask them to help them help you.
Nice.
Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch with us for some very unprofessional advice that goes beyond just go to therapy, feel free to email us on happylittlepod@gmail.com and make sure you put somewhere in the email, okay to air, if you're happy to have us discuss it on the show. Hope you have a great day. You're not alone. We love you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.